We welcome to the Kevin and Trudy Show McGill Associate Professor Jeremy Cooperstock. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Trudy Show.
Thank you for having me.
This student was an undergrad?
That's right.
And what class was he taking with you?
Ironically, artificial intelligence.
So tell us the story. When did you first get an inkling that something he had submitted had been plagiarized?
My teaching assistants, two of them brought a pair of assignments to me that they had gone through, and they said, unfortunately, yet again this year we have a case of plagiarism. It's not the first time we've come across it. And they laid it out for the table in front of me, and I looked at the code, and indeed the core part of the code that was the part being graded was identical between the two students. And worse than that, one of the students had tried to alter another part of his code to make it look a little bit less suspicious, but in doing so, he had broken the code so it couldn't actually run. And nevertheless, he submitted output graphs and all kinds of results as if the code had actually produced them. So this is more than plagiarism, it's actually scientific dishonesty.
Yeah, he falsified results.
That's correct. That's the sort of thing that got Enron in trouble a few years ago.
So this, to your mind, is an automatic fail on the course?
No, that's the funny thing at McGill. I don't know whether it's the same at other universities, but McGill's policies are a little bit odd in this respect. And once there's a charge of plagiarism, regardless of whether it's by the teaching assistant or by the instructor, we're sort of out of the loop. We're sort of not considered intelligent enough to assess the problem, and we're not considered competent in penalizing. So we have to pass it on to our illustrious administrators, and the administrators then meet secretly with the students and decide whether or not to punish the students.
So, and in this case, what happened?
The administrator secretly decided that there was no plagiarism, and later on decided not only that there was no plagiarism, but that the students deserve a higher mark in the assignments.
Yikes.
Now, what do you think was motivating them in their decision? Was it fear that the university would get a bad reputation, that cheating would become too public, or they just want more tuition?
I think there's a combination of multiple factors going on. There's one common thread that I've cited repeatedly, and that's the fact that in the last few years, we've had to lower our admission standards significantly because of the drop of applicants, or at least the drop of highly qualified applicants. So in electrical and computer engineering, we've dropped, I think, from a high 80s percentile cutoff for what the high school scores or transcripts would have to show for somebody coming into our program, down to something in the low 70s. And that sort of a drop in admission standards, I think, has to take some sort of, or has to create some sort of ripple effect through the program in terms of the quality of courses you can offer and the level of teaching and the level of student output. And what's happened, of course, is that because the university hired a lot of faculty in the tech boom days, and a lot of these people now have tenure, we have a bloated faculty that have to be kept on, and the only way to do that is to make sure that we still have the student enrollment so the dollars keep trickling in from Quebec City. That's certainly a big part of the factor, I think.
Is the student enrollment dropping because they're, you know, the aging of the population here in Canada? Has McGill's reputation declined, so it's getting fewer high-quality applicants? What's going on there?
No, this is a problem across the board. We hear it from other universities in Canada and even in the United States. The top schools are looking at fewer and fewer highly skilled or high-quality applicants. It's not that we don't have the numbers coming in, but in order to maintain the actual number of enrolled students, we have to accept lower quality students who have applied.
I've heard about the term grade deflation being used more and more often. There's a lot of people in academia I've spoken to who learned not just about cheating in courses like what you're doing, where you can look down at the results of work and say, well, either the program runs or it doesn't run, but in more, shall we say, subjective courses, arts programs and what have you, where profs are genuinely worried about giving a student a bad grade and then being accused of everything from favoritism to racism. And as a result, there's a general overall dropping of academic standards all across the country.
Yes. Yeah, this is exactly what's going on. And there are other faculty who have written tomes on the subject, and there have been numerous efforts from the grassroots to try to remedy it. But it seems, and McGill is not alone in this, I've been receiving email right through the day from people at all kinds of other institutions, both in Canada and the United States, and even overseas, who have said, you know what, bravo for speaking out, but you're not alone. This problem exists in our school. This problem exists at another school that my colleague was at, and so on. It's not confined here, but it seems that most people are somewhat timid to speak out about it.
Now that you have, what do you think your future is looking like at McGill?
Oh, well, I'm sure I have a lot of friends in the upper administration now. Well, the nice thing about tenure in theory is that I'm still going to have this office tomorrow, but we never know what kinds of games will be tried next. I've been calling for several years for the administration to take some remedial action and try to correct the weaknesses and the failings in our regulations and in the way that they're being enforced. And last year I met with the provost, the top administrator of the university, sat down with him in his office for an hour while he listened to my charges, and I provided him with documentation about the subject. And I saw him read from a prepared script, basically ignoring everything I was saying, while he kept nodding his head and saying that we're taking this very seriously and we're going to make changes. But the changes that I've seen have only made things worse.
You know, this is the kind of thing that's, that I think should make a lot of people very concerned if academic standards are being compromised for basically financial reasons. We have to wonder what kind of students will be graduating years on down the road. I mean, it's one thing to say we won't have our talking robot android household servant replicants turdy as fast as we might want them to, and I certainly want my Daryl Hannah replicant, but medical students, you know, aviation engineers, everyone else who's involved in the university, we want to make sure that they're doing the actual work they're supposed to be doing.
Professor,
yeah, you've touched on the medical student situation, and it's really no different in engineering. I mean, just as you wouldn't want to go to a heart surgeon who cheated his way through medical school, you probably wouldn't want to fly in an aircraft or drive a car where some safety-critical system was designed by an engineer who cheated his way through the program. And in fact, as I point out on my website, degradingmcgill.ca, you have a case from the 1980s where AECL, Atomic Energy of Canada, manufactured the Therac 25 medical radiation device that killed dozens of people around the world, largely in Canada and the United States, because of a software bug. So we do, as engineers, make the technology that runs society. And a lot of times these technologies, whether they're for power plants or flight control systems or automatic braking in our car, are things that make a matter of difference in life or death.
Professor, good luck to you in your campaign, and thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Trudy Show.
My pleasure.